evening, we endeavor to speak a little bit about the road well traveled and spoke of God's travel brochure of the place he has named Hail and some descriptions of the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. But there is also, to God be all the glory, a narrow gate and a straight way, which he enables a multitude like the stars of the sky or the sands of the seashore to travel on throughout this life. We may fall and skin our knees, rub up our elbows, or bust our nose, but the righteous will arise. I have been asked, how many times can a saved person fall? Not from grace. Just fall and overtaken or something in sin. Now, I've only ever come up with one biblical answer. One less than God gets them up. They'll get up one more time than they fall. You can depend on that. Because God will take us home. And I just want us to read a little bit about the travel brochure that God has given us about the place called New Jerusalem. John, the great white throne judgment, is just concluded. Every person that ever lived or ever shall live on planet Earth, whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, was cast into a lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, where the devil, false prophet, all the demons are. And with that conclusion, time will be no more. Eternity is ushered in with Revelation 21. And I, this is John, speaking by Holy Spirit inspiration, I saw three new things: a new heaven and a new earth. For the first earth, heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. No crutches. No glasses. No supports of anything but God of holiness. Never again to have to say I'm sorry. Never to find no disappointment. Never sin again. Never be around anyone that sins again. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. God sealed this with a double guarantee. He said, this is truth, and I'm going to faithfully preserve it, carry it out. He said unto me, it is done. Now, it has not yet happened. But do you know he who speaks declares the end from the beginning and the things that are not as though they already were with his absolute certainty that's more accurate than historians can write? Understand that? Mm-hmm. He can tell you what's coming better than they can tell you what's happening.
That's right.
I am Alpha and Omega. I was here when it all began. I was here when it's all over. The beginning and the end I will give unto him that is thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, unbelieving. This is some kind of a list, Luke. Fearful, unbelieving, and the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters. And oh, in the case you aren't any of those, that group, all you liars too, shall have their part in the lake which burns fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Mm-hmm. Now, as I mentioned, there are three new things mentioned in the first two verses of Revelation 21. There is a new heaven, that is a new atmosphere above, a new earth. Then there is also in verse 2, and this is what I really want us to think about today, is the New Jerusalem. Now, Protestants, everybody know Baptists aren't Protestants.
Right.
Everybody know there's never been Protestants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Baptists have protested, and they protested against the Catholic Church, but they never were a part of it.
That's right.
Baptists never had to be reformed because they were already formed.
Amen.
You don't have to be reformed when you've been formed right.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you're reformed tells me you didn't work right to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Read right.
Yep.
It's kind of like having all these things to store. You're looking to pick up a book that says new and improved. Maybe why were you selling it before? What's wrong with it? You know, I mean, if it's so much better now, I sure wish I hadn't been using it. But God's, that's what reform means to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to get it right. Protestants confuse and make synonymous heaven and New Jerusalem.
No.
You hear Protestants talking about heaven, having streets of gold and gates of pearl. Well, listen, I read my Bible and that's the description of the New Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
not heaven.
Right.
There is a new heaven. And there is a new earth. But there's something different from that because God keeps saying and. You do know that when God puts some conjunctions, they might be related to one another, but they're not the same exact thing.
Yep.
Or man hammer. That's not the same thing, is it? It happened to be two men, but I tell you, I know enough, I've had enough difference in my life to know that arm and hammer aren't the same thing. But this is two or three year things. And I want to use the New Jerusalem one because that's the one God describes.
Mm-hmm.
He just tells us there's new heaven, there's new earth, and he don't go into great detail about them.
Yeah.
But when it comes to New Jerusalem, he goes into great detail.
Yeah.
And it is my persuasion, and I believe a biblical fact, that it is because from that place Lord Jesus Christ will rule and reign eternally on an everlasting throne over an everlasting kingdom. And there will be one that is at his side. And he will call her my wife.
Yep.
My bride. And if I read John 14, right. Jesus Christ told, who is he talking to? He was talking to the 11 apostles who, with whom he had just in chapter 13 instituted the Lord's Supper. Told them that he was going out to die. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be with them. A little while, you'll see me no more. Mm-hmm. And they begin to be sorrowful. And somewhere, as he's going along, between that upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane, he talks with them. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You do believe in God. Well, just believe in me also. My Father's got a house." Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm a stickler for little words in God's Word. "In my Father's house are." That didn't say will be. Mm-hmm. "In my Father's house are many mansions." People today talk about a mansion in heaven. I'm not so sold that we're going to have a mansion in heaven. That's the Father's, what He's prepared for. I believe Israel is right. I don't want to get into that, but I'm convinced of it. It's what she's calling the Old Testament anyway. That's a fact. I can prove that. And Jesus said, "And I go and prepare a place for you." Who's He talking to? He's talking to the ones He set first in His church, the 11 apostles. He's talking to His church. Who did He commission in Matthew 28:18-20? Baptists ought not be quiet about that.
Right.
Our whole heritage and bloodline hangs or dies on that being the church
right.
of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That He speaks to. Matthew 18:20. And if that's the same people in Matthew 18:20 as it is in John 14, do you understand it's the same bunch?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it's His church here and not His church here.
Yep.
Right.
But it's the same people. So in essence, He's saying to His church, "I'm going to go prepare a place for my bride, my church. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. Receive you unto myself." Now, every saved person will be called up to meet the Lord when He returns there.
Amen.
Understand, I'm not saying the resurrection or rapture of the church, but that church will sure be with them.
Yes.
You understand that? And I believe that our Lord Jesus Christ has a beloved who is but one. And that the membership of the Lord's churches as they live upon this earth today are engaged to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're living and should be faithful to Him as an espoused groom, every one of us. You say, "My goodness, preacher, what do you mean?" Well, the Apostle Paul wrote to church at Corinth, and what did he tell them? He said, "Well, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy." Why? "Because I've espoused you to one."
Yes.
You know what that word "espoused" means? Oh, I'll tell you right now. What was you talking about this morning, Andy? That puppy love?
Yeah.
These women said they one time had puppy love. Turned out to be a dog. It grew up to be a dog. That's another story. But the Lord don't have no puppy loves.
Mm-mm.
He says, "I'm going to prepare a place for my beloved."
Mm-hmm.
She's just one. Not one in number. In kind. And when I come back, I've got a place ready for her. And I won't turn to it, but you can look. And when the marriage of the Lamb comes, the bride makes herself ready.
Mm-hmm.
And John, the angel says to John, "Come, and I'll show thee the Lamb, the bride's wife." And John went, and he saw this city descending out of God. But you know what outshined that whole city? The Lamb of God, of course. But what did that angel tell John? "You come, I want you to notice." Didn't say the Son of God. He said, "I want you to come and see the Lamb, the bride, the Lamb's wife. She's a home of our two. That's the home that Jesus Christ is building.
Amen.
For his people who obey him. It is my persuasion that when our God saves a soul, he is in this age, church, age of the church existing on the earth, where the Lord works through it, and that's where we're at. He is saying, I love you. I died for you. Will you marry me? Will you be my bride? Now your answer is yes or no. And it's shown your answer by whether you submit to scriptural baptism or not. I'm going to tell you something. You won't find anyone who God saves in the New Testament don't line up with the church. Submit to scriptural baptism, become a member of one of the Lord's churches, and serve him through that church.
Yep.
Now you can look all you want to, but you're going to find that that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Why? You ever wonder about old Saul of Tarsus?
Yes.
When he was traveling on the road to Damascus and God knocked him down and turned the light on? And he says, who are you? He said, I'm the Lord whom you persecute. And he said, well, what do you want me to do? What would you have me do?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what the Lord told him? He said, go on over here to Ananias. He'll tell you what to do. And you know what the Lord told Ananias to do? Baptize him.
Mm-hmm.
So in essence, the Lord was saying when Saul said, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to be baptized and serve me through the church.
Yep.
Of course, he don't want that today. He's changed. Right? Wrong. He still wants you to do the same exact thing.
Yep.
Follow him in baptism and serve him through his church.
Amen.
Do you understand that it's going to come a time, as sure as you're saved, that you're going to face Jesus Christ and stand or fall before him?
Mm.
Either way, you're going to see him as he is. And I have thought many a time, what will it be when we cast our eyes on those pierced feet?
Mm-hmm.
What will it be when we see those hands reaching out to help us up and there's the nail prints still in them? We look at those arms and they're just ripped apart from the head of nine tails. His head's pierced with thorn holes. His side is just cut open. His back plowed. And that whip wrapping around, ripping his flesh from him. Do you know he said in Psalm 22, I may say to my bones, they stare at you.
Yeah.
You see all of that? And he says, I did all this for you. Why didn't you just follow me in baptism and serve me in the church where I can get the greatest glory out of your life? You know, Ephesians 3:21 does say, unto him be glory.
Mm-hmm.
In the church.
Amen. Right.
Now that doesn't mean that he doesn't get glory from the sunrise, because he does. But a saved person brings glory to Jesus Christ as he assembles with and faithfully serves him through and under the authority of one of his churches as no other way on God's earth.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Billy Graham, Billy Sunday, Charles Spurgeon, anybody else you can name outside the Lord's church never brought the glory to Jesus Christ like this church has. Because they continued in opposition to him.
Right.
Not in fellowship with him.
Yeah.
And it ain't because of the church. You know what it is? It's the Holy Spirit of God in that church.
Yes.
Amen.
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 I don't know what in the world's so bad about being baptized. Shoot, I took a shower this morning. Didn't hurt me a bit. But if it had only been a tub, I'd have got in it, and I might have got all the way under it. I've done that a lot of times, and I didn't rust. I've been swimming, get plumb down there in the water, every bit of me, and got up and walked off. I know why people are afraid of baptism. What in the world is wrong? Well, I'm gracious. I am not going to get preaching. I'll tell you one thing. I didn't have any of this in the notes, but maybe somebody needs to hear it. Maybe some of us need to be reminded of just what great honor God's given us.
Yes.
To say He saved our souls and give us the opportunity to serve Him as He commanded. We won't take that for granted. And we'll know, I'm sure glad they said to me, let's go up to the house of God.
Amen.
And when we walk away from there, Lord, He was good. To be with you in your house today. Thousands and millions of people go in and out of religious assemblies today. The Spirit of God's never in there, save in the saved people themselves, but not in the assembly. I hope you understand what I just said. Don't the pastor said he'd get asked him. I'm not saying there's other people, not there's not people saved in their place. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit doesn't live in them. But He doesn't walk in their assembly like He walks in His.
That's right.
Let me just give you the thoughts about this New Jerusalem. One, this is a sanctuary city. Always a lot of talk today about sanctuary city.
Let's not get off on
that. Isn't there a lot of talk about sanctuary cities? You know what the word sanctuary means? It just means set apart for a holy use. You know, the holy and holy of holies in the tabernacle was called the sanctuary. And it was a spot that was dedicated to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was a holy place. Well, that knocks all them cities out right there, doesn't it?
Yeah. Amen.
Well, I mean, what do you want to do? New York, San Francisco, some of those other... Mud holes, drug holes, other kinds of things, and call them sanctuary cities. It's not, but this one will be. This will be a holy city. You know what he says about this city? He says there will not be anything enters in it that defileth. Not one thing. Never will it be anything that will even cause a particle of dust in that city. They won't anything to violate. It's a true sanctuary city. And then I want you to know that this city's got some sights worth seeing. I've heard a lot of people say, I went to Las Vegas and that was the most beautiful thing, Nevada. And maybe it is. I've never seen it. But I'll tell you one thing, you won't hold a candle to this city. I've been to New York two times at least. I really didn't think it's all that beautiful by any stretch of the imagination. The memorial at 9/11 there, you know, from 9/11, that memorial is they've done beautiful work around there. They really have. And but you get around the outside of that place, buddy, I'm telling you right now, it is one evil spot. And I've been through San Francisco, but it didn't stay long. But I saw all I wanted to. That was way back when.
Yeah.
When Brother Purdue first went to California, you know how long that's been. And then there's, I ain't gonna call them men, there's shims walking around holding arms. Yeah, that made me sick too, people.
Yeah.
And they call that a sanctuary city. New Jerusalem is sanctuary city. It'll be a holy place.
Amen.
It'll be everything that there is pure. And we can rejoice in it. This city has the glory of God. And the very presence of Jesus Himself lights it. I thought, they might make a sign to put on here, City Limits, New Jerusalem. Builder. Jesus Christ. Architect, Jesus Christ. Lighting director, Jesus Christ. Groundskeeper, Jesus Christ. Interior decorator, Jesus Christ. Builder, Jesus Christ. Electrical engineer, put it all on there, and you know who it's going to be? It's going to be Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, there will not be a sun there, but there'll not be a shadow anywhere in it.
Mm-hmm.
And there won't be one light bulb nor one candle anywhere in it.
No.
Because the very presence of God's Son, Jesus Christ, will have such radiant glory coming out of Him that the whole place will be lit four square.
Mm-hmm.
All the way around. And that'll be so bright the sun will have to run high if it was one. But there won't be. But if it was, it'd have to run in high because it'd just be put out. What place? People labor all their lives to try to get a few pounds of gold. And God says, well, Jesus Christ said, well, y'all can labor all you want to. I'll just use it for asphalt. It's all seem good for you anyway. People search for diamonds, emeralds, and all such as that. The Lord Jesus Christ said, well, I guess it'd be hard to daub up on the foundation. Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
People say, I sure would like to have a few cultured pearls. Jesus Christ said, well, all right, if y'all want some, I'll just take 12 of them and make gates out of them. Every gate's one pearl.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Jimmy? Mary, y'all went through some of them gates in Jerusalem. Are they sort of thick? You don't just go like in the door and right out through it. And some of the things are like 6, 8, 10 foot thick. The wall is.
Hmm.
And I think that new Jerusalem's going to be just as good, don't you?
Okay.
You know how big that city is? 1,500 miles cubed.
Yeah.
That don't mean anything, does it? It just means it's big.
Mm.
Let me tell you what that equals to. And I've done a little bit of this. I've probably told you before, but I don't care. I don't remember it, and you probably don't anyway. If you do, it hurts you. If you stepped off out of the Atlantic in Manio, North Carolina, as far east you get, walked a straight beeline till you got to the Mississippi River, you'd be just about halfway through the New Jerusalem. If you stepped out of Lake Superior, there at Chicago, stepped on the shores of Lake Superior, walked straight south through the New Jerusalem, you'd step out the South Gate into the Gulf of Mexico. Bigger, larger, than half of the continental United States of America. About 3,000 miles across the United States, right?
Yep.
Roughly? That's 1,500 miles
mm-hmm.
across. When we went to Israel, they had these things that says we were flying at 40,000 foot roughly. You know how high that is? 5 miles. No, 8 miles. Less than 8 miles. Now, if every floor in the New Jerusalem was 1 mile high, when you're flying in that plane 40,000 foot above, you'd be on the eighth floor. You know, you only got 1,492 floors to go to get to the top. Think that's high? You ain't even hardly got out of the foundation when you get that high. Listen, he's making a place for his bride. Wouldn't you like to live there?
Mm-hmm.
We'll go on. Not only is it full of great sights, read this description in this 21st chapter, but there's some wonderful sounds that's going to be heard in that city. I preached a sermon at a conference up in Michigan. What are we going to do when we get to heaven? You know what we're going to do? We're going to church. For all intents and purposes, we're going to church. You read Revelation 4 and you'll find out that all that is gathered around that throne are singing praises to the Lord God. They're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. They're glorifying Him. They're doing what the church do, doing what it should do. true.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you right now, if you don't like being in church, you ain't going to like being in heaven.
That's right.
Preacher, you're a mean guy. I know why you going to send you home. But I'm telling you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were going to change. I know that. We'll be changed.
Yep.
But our love for Jesus Christ should be now.
Yes.
And our desire to be where He's at should be now, too.
Yes.
Sam's? Everybody you meet will be like Minnie Pearl. Howdy! I'm so glad to see you. I'm so happy to be here. Ain't nobody going to look at you with a sour smile like you've been eating green persimmons. Everybody's going to be happy. Everybody's going to be smiling. Everybody's going to tell good things to say. Everybody's going to be rejoicing. Everybody's going to feel good. Everybody's going to be... It's just going to be wonderful sounds.
Amen.
Ain't nothing to get you down. It's just... Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, it was the best in the world when we got here. It's getting better every day. Of course, there is no day but that day. So it's getting good. It's filled with saints. And I'll just tell you the Savior's there. I'm looking forward to at least going to. Oh, if only I could be counted worthy to be at home there. We're determining that right now. As we are faithful to Him or not faithful to Him. The bride made herself ready. I'm convinced that the members of the Lord's churches are sewing their wedding garment. When you submit to baptism, trip to baptism, a stitch goes in. When you come to the house of God, a stitch goes in. When you pass by the offering box, you say, "Thank you, Lord, for all you've given me. It's such an honor to give back to you what's yours, and I will give this free will to you." There's a stitch. As you go forth and witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, stitches. As you bow and pray for one another, stitches. As you bear one another's burdens, you help one another, you fulfill the royal law of God, stitches. You know that bride is arrayed in linen clean and white. Now listen, that's not the righteousness of Christ. Read it, it's the righteousness of the saints.
That's right.
Righteous acts of the saints of God through His church.
Yeah.
You're sowing it. You're making it. Or you're not making it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the story of the wedding feast? The parable?
Yep.
What happened to them that didn't have the red garments? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't say, "Well, that's okay. You're welcome anyway." No, take them out. Stitch your garment. Be faithful to God. Thank you, brother.
Amen.
Thank you, church. So very much.
For everything.